Good morning, and welcome once again to the Thursday morning edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your Thursday host, and I'm glad that you've joined me today as we prepare for another day and spend time in God's Word. And we're going to be continuing our Thursday study of the book of Lamentations. So I hope you'll stay with me and get our day going in the right direction. Mornings for the Master is heard each weekday, Monday through Friday here on TGRN, and you have a different host each day and a different course of study. And I hope that you are availing yourself to this program as well as others here on the network. So let's get right into our study for today, and that is Lamentations chapter 3, the third poem here by Jeremiah in this series of poems that make up the Lamentations. We begin. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me, time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy, even when I cry and shout. He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause. The Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass, when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search out and examine our ways, and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied. You have covered yourself with a cloud, that prayer should not pass through. You have made us an offscouring and refuse in the midst of the peoples. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare have come upon us, desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease, without interruption, till the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes bring suffering to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. My enemies hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen how I am wronged. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, all their schemes against me. The lips of my enemies and the whispering against me all the day. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am their taunting song. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them. In your anger, pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. The third poem in Lamentations is the pinnacle of the mountain of this book. Now you will notice that there are 66 verses instead of the 22 verses that the other poems in this book have. This third poem is still an acrostic, but there are three lines that begin with each successive letter of the alphabet rather than one like the previous two poems. Now the theme of this poem begins with the thought that hope is lost. Now let's go back and notice the first section. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry out and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. These first 20 verses of this poem gives us a picture of the intensity of Jeremiah's pain. His grief is so great that he is physically ill and has physically pain from his grief. Notice verse 4 where he said, he has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. Now his flesh was not falling off of him, nor were his bones literally broken, but he is using this imagery to describe the physical anguish he feels because of the pain that he is in. The broken bones picture a loss of hope in the future. In the Old Testament, the bones of the righteous are not broken, which means they have hope in the future of what God will do. Consider the 34th Psalm in verse 20. The psalmist said, He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Now contrast that with the words of Isaiah the prophet in chapter 38 in verse 13. I have considered until morning like a lion. So he breaks all my bones. From day until night you make an end of me. And finally, we see that Jeremiah is swallowed up in bitterness. In verse 5, he has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. Jeremiah feels that he is walled in, that he is chained down and blocked off. If you'll notice verses 7 and 8, he has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayers. God has shot arrows through his body, even into his bowels. And it is crushing the emotions of Jeremiah. Notice verses 10 through 13. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. Jeremiah's pain is so great that notice he seems to have forgotten what happiness is in verse 17. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. The crowning statement for this first section of the third poem can be found in verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Has life made you feel this way? If you have been alive long enough, I think you are probably able to declare that you have felt this way. We have been through such turmoil that our grief and sorrow have destroyed us from within, according to Jeremiah. We have forgotten what happiness is. Jeremiah says that we are, in essence, so surrounded by the darkness that there seems to be no hope for the future. Therefore, according to Jeremiah, our strength and endurance have perished. And so, because their strength is waning away, so also is their hope. We need to see the devastation that Jeremiah is feeling. His grief is immeasurable. His strength is gone, and his hope is lost. But notice that this is not the end of the poem. Nor is this the end of the book. Too many times, people stop right here at this point in life, when they're surrounded by darkness with no seeming hope for the future. And so they stop there. They are consumed by grief and wallow in their pain and sorrow, often turning to the bottle or to drugs. But what we are learning right here is that this is not where we stop. We cannot stay in this hopeless darkness without hope. Even though our days are filled with bitterness and tears, we cannot stay in this situation, and we cannot end our day on this note. And so Jeremiah, even in the midst of great pain and much grief, is going to teach us how we can go forward through our sorrows. For now, Jeremiah gives us hope renewed. Let's go and pick up in verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Listen to verse 21. Because what Jeremiah does here is very important for handling our own times of great despair and overwhelming grief. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Notice that Jeremiah commits to an act of the will, rather than acting on his own emotions and feelings. He does not say that all is hopeless, and therefore he will give up in his hopeless despair. Not at all. He says that he will put something in his mind while he is in this state of pain and grief. He is going to put hope in his heart, because he is going to put his mind on something in particular. Verses 22 through 24 show us what it is that he's going to put his mind upon. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Essentially, Jeremiah is going to preach to himself in his time of despair. Here's what he preaches to himself. The first thing he preaches to himself is that the steadfast love of the Lord never ends. God's faithful, covenant love never stops. His compassion and His mercies never come to an end. They never fail. Then Jeremiah recalls the multiple proofs of God's faithful love. He calls to remembrance how God's love never ends. Think about just how faithful the Lord has been to you. Think about how God has done good for you repeatedly in the past. His love never fails towards you. This is the knowledge we have to help us in our time of grief, in our time of despair. Second, Jeremiah preaches to himself that the steadfast love and the mercies of the Lord are renewed every morning. Every day presents us a new opportunity to experience a fresh outpouring of God's great love and compassion. Each day offers new hope for the compassion of God to be on display in your life. While the future may look dark and everything may seem hopeless, each day is another day to see the steadfast love of the Lord. And so Jeremiah calls upon himself to live one day at a time. Just see the mercy of God for us today. Do not worry about tomorrow's difficulties and the issues of tomorrow. Instead, live in the compassion and mercy of God today. Great is the faithfulness of God. He will get you through this day and every day. God is faithful toward us each and every day. Third, you will notice that the author speaks to himself again now in verse 24. His soul says, "The Lord is my portion." A portion relates to the land allotted by God to each Israelite. Notice that the author, Jeremiah here, says the Lord is his portion. He declares his dependence on the Lord for his provisions and his survival. God will take care of me is what he's preaching to himself. And so, Jeremiah's conclusion is that, therefore, I will hope in him. There is the old adage that says, hope springs eternal. If you have been in sorrow and grief, then you will know that this is not the case. What is true is this. If we can modify the saying, hope springs eternal, only when hope is focused on the Lord, this is how we give ourselves the hope and courage that we need in times of pain and grief. So hope renewed becomes hope proclaimed. Let's pick up in verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may be yet hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause. The Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass, when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? So now Jeremiah takes his hope and proclaims to the rest of the people who are in grief and pain. Go back to verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Verses 25 and 26 proclaim the need to wait for the Lord and seek the Lord. Wait for His deliverance. Wait for His salvation. The Lord will help, but we must seek Him and wait for Him. Now, Jeremiah gets to preaching to himself and the people in the next few verses. Verse 27. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. This is a reference to the yoke of suffering and pain, because it is instructive and is helpful to a person. The earlier we learn from this yoke, the more valuable it will be for later in life. Learn to accept God's will and refuse to complain is what we learn in verse 28. And we are to bow before the Lord and be humble in heart and mouth, according to verse 29, which says, let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. We must remember that we are the servants of the Lord. Verse 30, let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach. Remember and never forget who you are. Submit to the Lord. Bow and have hope. And so, his message continues by building faith. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Even in grief, God will have compassion because of his abundant, steadfast love. We would do well to remember Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Here is an incredible picture of the character of God. Verse 33, for he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. The punishment for the people's sins is not from his heart. It is not willingly. God does not want to have to judge people, but he must, because God is just. This is the point of verses 34 to 36. To crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause, the Lord does not approve. God is just and does not approve of our sinful ways. This takes us back to the first point that Jeremiah made in the first poem in chapter 1. That is, God is always right. We see this pointed out now in verses 37 to 39. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass, when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Who are we to complain against God? We are the ones who are full of sins, not God. God is in the right. God is always just. God is always pure and holy. We are only getting what we rightfully deserve. In fact, we are not receiving what we should for our sins because of the steadfast love of the Lord toward us. This will keep our minds in the right frame of mind. This keeps us in humility when we see that we deserve nothing and everything we have in life is a grace that is poured out from God. Next, we see that there is hope and prayer in the next several verses. We can find hope through prayer. Let's pick up in verse 40. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied. You have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass through. You have made us an offscouring and refuse in the midst of the peoples. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and snare have come upon us. Desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption till the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes bring suffering to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. And so with this, Jeremiah declares that we need to examine our ways and pray to the Lord. Anytime we examine ourselves and take an honest look at our lives, it should cause us to pray. Because if we're honest, we will understand that we have fallen woefully short of God's glory. And with that realization, then, we turn to the Lord and pour our hearts out before God. The prophet Joel in chapter 2 and verse 13 said, "So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." So Jeremiah will continue to pour out his tears and prayers to the Lord until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. Remember, this was what he cried in the first poem in chapter 1. He had no words in his prayer except, "Look, O Lord." He will continue to pray because he has hope in the steadfast love of the Lord, whose mercies are new each morning. And so then finally, in the rest of the poem that is chapter 3, we find the hope for restoration. Verse 52, "My enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, 'I am cut off.' I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear. From my sighing, from my cry for help, you drew near on the day I called on you and said, 'Do not fear.' O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen how I am wronged. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, all their schemes against me. The lips of my enemies and their whispering against me all the day. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am their taunting song. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them in your anger. Pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. Notice the feelings of despair that continue in the heart of Jeremiah and in the hearts of the people, beginning in verse 52. My enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. The despair is so great that it is as if water has closed over his head and he is drowning. He says that he is lost. But listen to what happens. In the depths of despair, he cries to the Lord, and the Lord heard his plea. Verse 55. I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. God came near when he cried out to the Lord and gave him the hope and courage he needed. Hope comes from calling on the name of the Lord, turning to him in prayer without ceasing. Now Jeremiah sees that God is near him and has taken up his cause. God sees what has happened to this one who cries out to God. God sees the evil of those who are afflicting him. Notice verses 58 and following. O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen how I am wronged. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, all their schemes against me. The lips of my enemies and their whispering against me all the day. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am their taunting song. And finally, at the end of the poem, we see Jeremiah's hope that God will repay. Verse 64. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them in your anger. Pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. God is going to take care of all of this suffering, pain, and grief one day, because God is a just and faithful God, and because he is compassionate toward those who wait for him and seek him. Jeremiah knows that God will act faithfully against those who have brought this pain to him. So, God's people recognize that their lives are not determined by some cold, impersonal fate or destiny. Our lives are in the hand of the living God, who is good, a God who hears our cries and will act for his people. Our praise and hope are motivated by the knowledge of this truth, that the Lord is good and the Lord is faithful. God's goodness is what makes up much of His glory. Consider Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. The compassion of God. What a great thing. What an unbelievable thing. Indeed, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me next week, if the Lord wills, as we continue into chapter 4 of Lamentations. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.